I remember waking up one morning to my first big brand deal, $50,000 for an event appearance and just a few posts. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Could it really be this easy to make this much money as an influencer? Welcome to the Delka Podcast, where we share information on health, wellness, business, travel, and everything in between. I'm your host, Cassandra DePeckel, and today, we're going to be diving into some thought-provoking discussions around becoming an influencer and influencer culture. What's the big deal with being an influencer anyways? Why are people so hung up on hanging around them, idolizing them, hating them, looking up to them as celebrities, and becoming one themselves? There's a reason for all of this, and we're going to be diving right in today's episode, The Path to Influence, examining the complexities of influencer culture. A quick disclaimer, this episode contains topics around suicide. Please proceed with discretion. If you guys listened to previous episodes of the Delka podcast, you'd know that I'd never set out to become a quote-unquote influencer, and that with my world travels and the media that preceded, I just happened to fall into it. Well, I was of course very grateful to amass an audience of over 800,000 people, most of whom cared about what it was that I had to offer. And while I was of course grateful for the opportunities that the career had given to me, it was by no means the career I'd set out to achieve. Cue my own show on the Travel Channel, which never happened, but that being said, I was very grateful nonetheless. The career led me to many opportunities, opened up so many doors, and really made me feel seen. I wasn't your girl next door babysitter just trying to make ends meet anymore. I had achieved something that people cared about, and I had a voice that people wanted to listen to, heed advice from. I was doing some spring cleaning the other day, not just throughout my home in a physical sense, but in a digital sense as well. Cleaning up my businesses, organizing my data and documents, flushing out old plugins from my websites, redoing my websites, you get the picture. It feels good. However, in the process, I was going through my old Facebook posts. We're talking back to 2014. Again, cleaning things up. I'm glad I did because, wow, I hardly recognized myself through the things that I said. I'm not sure what happened between then and now, but a span of 10 years can really change a person. I did not care at all what people thought of me, and I spoke my truth whenever I felt it. Sometimes it was harsh, but I also look back at myself, that 24-year-old woman who had no idea what the next 10 years would have in store for her. She had no idea. Her dream was to achieve everything by 30 so that she could end her life by her 30th birthday. End it right after her best years. Her intuition was always that post 30, things would go downhill for her. She didn't aspire to have a family, marriage, and she loved her solitude so much that she knew she'd struggle to hold on to her success in a world that requires so much human connection in order to make it. She felt pains creeping in, the heavy weight of financially supporting herself. Will she be on food stamps again? Will she need to file for bankruptcy? Maybe though, things will be okay. Maybe they won't turn out like I envision. I've always erred on the side of realism, to slight pessimism. If I imagine the worst that could possibly become of my life, then I guess things can only go up from there. Maybe her career will blossom with no disruptions and everything will go as planned, like it will by 30. Looking back on these existential posts that I made, I was taken aback on how vexed I was that people wanted things from me. I know that sounds harsh. Again, this girl was not one that I recognized when reading these posts, but it dawned on me that this momentary lapse in judgment, this harshness that I was displaying, was because I'd just fallen into influencer territory myself. I had begun to amass a large following, seemingly overnight. Hundreds of thousands of followers. The rush was terrifying. Reading my posts, I went back to that space I was in to try to understand where this was coming from. I had just spent 3 years building a career of traveling to every country in the world. I worked alone for hundreds of days and nights for over 3 years to make my goal a success. The purpose of these travels was to build my dream career in travel so that I could support myself for life. I did not, however, expect to complete those travels and for thousands of people to email, message, DM me, call me, etc., asking me how I did what I did so that they could do it. Okay, so listen, looking back, and I had no idea then, but I had such an opportunity to help every single one of these people through some sort of really affordable way for them. But I didn't know that then. I didn't know what that product or service was, and it was frustrating to me that I didn't. I didn't know of a tangible way to get this information to people who really wanted it. But besides the fact, what I found was people did not want to pay me to learn of my quote-unquote secrets or successes or ways of how I did what I did. They just wanted to know. Again, totally understandable. The problem was, even though I tried to answer as many people as I could, make stories, posts, blog posts, YouTube videos, etc., I didn't know how to actually properly deliver it in a free way for them. I was overwhelmed, more than I imagined, by the attention, not to mention the pressure of needing to do this, to do that, write a book by the state, speak at this school, secure this brand deal, meet with this person, sign off on this event. Everyone wanted something from me, but at the same time, no one really wanted to know me. It felt like a taking game, and I was burning out. I was running my head trying to keep up with such a booming career that seemed to have happened overnight once I finished my travels in February of 2017. Keep in mind, I'm very introverted and I love my solitude. Keep in mind also that I fell into this career. Being an influencer and keynote speaker are not always the best career paths for someone who prefers solitude. It was hard for me. Day in and day out, needing to answer to people, give interviews saying the same thing over and over again in redundancy, with no change in verbiage, as they needed the facts and they needed it quickly. I'd start to get personal during my speaking engagements. I'd start to reveal myself, only for the audience to lose interest. Back on track, Cassie, I'd tell myself, grabbing their attention with yet another hook about my travels or reality TV show experience. As I'm sure many people who gain access to the spotlight can relate, the taking game is so strong. And the thing is, no one really ever talks about it. You're expected to give because you built a career in the public eye. The concerning thing is, people only see you for what you achieved, as if robotic, and completely separate from you as a person. So yeah, it can feel disappointing, daunting, and frustrating to have to continue down a path where everyone knows you and your success, but no one really cares to know you at all. I feel I can speak for many in that many of us probably don't even want to share who we really are. We'd rather keep that to us because we're not that into sharing our personal selves with the world. Why should they know and why would they care? Every day, I would subconsciously wish for it to end. It was good and I enjoyed the success of it all, but it was also intolerable. With all of the positive recognition and accolades came really negative ones. Again, the dark side. The people who hate you for traveling fast, not traveling the way they would have traveled or how they would have wanted to. Which, side note, I always found to be so disappointing. Travelers judging other travelers for their style of traveling? So many influencers and travelers, many of whom you've probably heard of, telling the press or writing in their blogs that I traveled too fast and didn't see anything in these places, as if they were right there with me. I always use the example of I was in Jordan for a few days and traveled all over the country, gave speaking engagements, planted trees, met so many people. But I was in Papua New Guinea for 5 days and saw nothing but my hotel room. Granted, I was very ill whilst there. However, time is what you make of it, is my point. Who are travelers to assume how another traveler chooses to travel and whether that's right or wrong? I'd never consume myself with the decisions others make concerning their own life choices when it comes to travel. To me, that approach of judging others showcases a lack of moral evolution, completely stepping away from the traveler's code. I don't have respect for travelers who judge other travelers. The world I've seen of immense kindness, non-judgment, and hospitality does not hold space for these types of people. Another one was, I received so much ridicule for my CO2 emissions whilst traveling. Ironically, I made it a point to plant the country's native tree once I landed, usually double the amount of trees it took me to get there, so as to not only offset, but enrich and regenerate the planet as a way of saying thank you. I collected water samples to test for the presence of microplastics with a National Geographic-backed organization. All of these people who slandered me for not traveling sustainably, I bet not even one of them planted a tree when they arrived at a destination with the sole purpose of offsetting the carbon emissions from the flight it took them to get there. I'm not judging them, but if you're going to say something like that, you should be doing it yourself. People would get mad at me if I didn't give them all of the advice they wanted to hear for free. I can only explain it like, I don't know, when a fan goes up to a massive celebrity asking for their autograph, and when the celebrity either didn't notice or was too busy to do so, they throw a water bottle in their face. I'm not calling myself a celebrity by any means here. This is the only scenario I can kind of think of off the top of my head where I was hounded for information, and if I was unable to provide it for some reason or another, I'd get death threats. There was one Brazilian traveler in particular who, unbeknownst to me, had reached out in the era of influx where I was receiving thousands of messages and comments about people wanting to do what I did. This person wanted to break my record, and they'd asked me how to do it. I never saw their message until years later when they'd commented on a post I was tagged in, trying to turn the audience to them and their accomplishments, even though it was a post about me and my achievements. I thought this was weird, but it's not out of the ordinary for people to do this. However, I looked at their profile and they had over 1 million followers. At that point, I thought it low for a fellow travel influencer to attempt to shine light on themselves through means of a fellow traveler. It's the quintessential thing of someone tearing another down for their own success. I addressed this to him, and he in turn got very defensive, cruel, and told his over 1 million followers to spam my page and project hate onto me. I was alone in a cabin in the wilderness in Washington State at the time, on actually a solo peace retreat, where I was focusing on introspection and clearing my mind. And I was going through a difficult time in my life. This all happened when I was there and in that mental state. I began to feel helpless as this was unfolding and, frankly, suicidal. I'm an open book and I'm not afraid to express my vulnerabilities. I expressed to him that his actions of telling his audience to bully me were making me feel suicidal. I mean, I'm telling you, I was in a really low state at the time. He then proceeded to tell me to send him a photo of me holding a gun and that he would delete his post, essentially making his audience stop harassing me. I felt as though I was being held hostage in some way. This can't be real. But it was. And even when reporting him to Instagram and telling my audience about what had happened, nothing was done about it. I was left feeling broken and disappointed with yet another instance of women not being heard when they speak up on harassment. Anyways, here I am speaking my feelings on it because even through therapy and a lot of inner work, the fact that this man suffered no repercussions for his actions feels wrong still, and until justice is served for his actions, I will continue to struggle with the pains of this situation and the many others I'd faced from travelers within the industry who attempted to rise to success through virtual dismemberment of a fellow traveler who did nothing to them. More on handling these types of situations later. I will say, relating to all of this, I love this quote by Bianca Sparacino. Do not chase another human being. Instead, chase your curiosity. Chase your development and your goals. Chase your passion. Strive to work for something bigger than yourself. And instead of trying to convince someone that you fit within their world, strive to build your own. Okay, we're still on the topic of my experience as being an influencer over the past decade. Lastly came the judgment of my appearance. Some of the things people would say about me is, she only succeeded because of pretty privilege, or the endless comments about daddy's money, or sleeping her way around the world. She's, quote unquote, not honoring women who came before her, even though I talked so much about Amelia Earhart and Samantha Brown. The undermining, the degrading, the manipulation. It slowly ate away at me and made a once confident self question everything. I was raised in a household that condoned love and beauty growing up. My parents always told me how beautiful I was and how proud of me they were, though not in a way to make me feel vain or self-centered about my appearance. They raised me to see the beauty in myself and to feel confident in who I was. It was a truly healthy household to grow up in, and one that I'm grateful for, especially now as an adult, seeing how so many parents treat their children. Considering people I know, friends even, their parents never told them that they were beautiful or proud of them, and even 20, 30, 40 years down the line, they still struggle with seeing the beauty in themselves and being proud of themselves. I do feel very lucky that my parents instilled this sense of love and confidence in me, so I never really worried about my appearance or if I failed at something. I was always content with the way that I looked for the most part, and I was always able to pick myself back up when I failed at something. However, of course, when the world is coming at you and you're an adult on your own, that's when you're truly tested. I think all of this is really important for me to say because it paints a story and gives context as to who I am as a person from a foundational level. There's a reason I share all of this with you. I was hungry for that ability to give people beauty and wonder and happiness at the cost of my own expense. That, coupled with the raw hatred I was taking in both online and from those within my industry, I was at a loss. Could I really continue with this career path as an influencer when I constantly have to explain myself and fight for my peace? When we come back in just a moment, the perks of being an influencer, how to become one, and how it can turn into something genuinely beautiful if you make it to be. Stay with us. I'm Cassandra DePeckel, and you're listening to the Delka Podcast. Finding the right women to connect with to grow your business doesn't have to be a burden. We make it easy through Delka. Delka is a premier lifestyle brand catering exclusively to women. With a focus on elevating every aspect of our members' lives, we offer elite memberships, advice through our weekly newsletter and blog, transformative retreats, an elegant online boutique, and exclusive member privileges. Whether you're seeking personalized guidance, connection with other like-minded women, or unforgettable experiences, Delka is here to help you unlock your full potential and live your best life. Visit DelkaLife.com. That's DelkaLife.com to elevate and expand your connections for both business and friendship. Mention you heard about us on this podcast and receive a 5% discount on our boutique items and priority application review for our Delka membership. The Delka experience. It's a lifestyle. Welcome back. We left off with me sharing a little backstory about the contours of my personal narrative within the influencer industry. If my story didn't turn you off to the idea of becoming an influencer, at the very least, I hope that it opened your mind to the inner workings of how not everyone shares the same journey within this industry. That it is a serious industry that can have many repercussions beyond the lens of a photo or video shared by someone who has a following. So, you want to be an influencer? Let's talk about it. We'll start off with the question, why would anyone want to become an influencer? There are actually a lot of valid reasons why. What I love most about it is the ability to have a voice and be heard on things that are important to me. It subconsciously makes me feel less alone, knowing that there are others who jive to the same vibrations, who understand or who can share their light of introspection about the same topic. It's a canvas where I'm able to paint a picture, a microphone to the world. With that said, I think there's a fine line between sharing and oversharing. One can easily overstimulate one's audience. Another great perk is the ability to promote your business, service, product, or get feedback about an idea through a group of people who actually care about whatever it is you're building. Let's be honest, the perks are great. Free products, free trips, events, services, discounted experiences and products. This goes without saying. Another reason you might want to become an influencer is, well, there's room for an abundance of financial growth. TikTok, for example, is a social media platform that has truly mastered the art of compensating creators. If you've been on the fence about taking that leap and posting, the following might just be the motivation you need. As I write this, with TikTok's new creativity program beta, creators oftentimes earn $10,000 per 10 million views, for example. You might be thinking that 10 million views is unheard of, but it's actually fairly common to reach that many views on a video. Speaking from experience where several of mine have gone viral, more recently I did a post with just two pictures, and that post garnered 15 million views. Granted, there are qualifications one needs to meet before they're able to start receiving payouts. Some of these qualifications include having a minimum of 1,000 followers, and the videos need to be over a minute long, etc. However, with the TikTok algorithm, you can easily get there overnight. Okay, so one way of getting paid out is from the platform itself. There are so many other ways to make money on TikTok, though. You can go live and receive gifts, which translates to cash. Another source is your followers can pay to subscribe to you. They'll get a special badge next to their name to be seen more by the individual or individuals they subscribe to. Believe it or not, this is pretty popular. You can receive tips, bonuses, and sign up right there on the app to work with brands who need people like you to promote their product or service. You can procure brand deals outside the app too. I believe TikTok even has an agency that represents influencers and secures brand deals for them. You might have to fact check that information though. Another way to make cash is through commission of products you sell via the TikTok shop. When you post a video of, say, a vacuum, you can link that exact vacuum, which is for sale in the TikTok shop, and you get a commission. There exists everything within the TikTok shop. If TikTok isn't your thing, there's plentiful ways to monetize on other apps. Instagram has subscriptions where your audience can pay for exclusive content. There's also an option to host your own shop within the app to generate sales. I believe they, like TikTok, rolled out bonuses, gifts, etc. Aside from all the in-app offerings of these platforms, having an audience allows a creator or business owner to profit off of their blog or website through ad placements, Google Ads. This is obviously a major way to profit on YouTube as well, monetizing off of ads. Back to the influencer thing. Having an engaged audience opens up so many doors around not only brand deals, but speaking on panels, investment opportunities, invitations to exclusive events, and connecting with like-minded people who can help you along your journey. Being an influencer provides a wonderful space and opportunity to flourish and grow into something bigger. I remember waking up one morning to my first big brand deal, $50,000 for an event appearance and just a few posts. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Could it really be this easy to make this much money as an influencer? Granted, these sort of brand deals would only roll in if I was able to maintain a social presence, have a good track record, and was continuing to evolve in the travel and fitness space. I by no means became anywhere near wealthy or millionaire status. Many people are so ill-informed when it comes to how much money influencers actually make. Cue the person who sued me. They had absolutely no clue. So oblivious. It's dangerous. People thinking just because someone has 500,000 followers that they're a millionaire or wealthy, when most often, that is not the case at all. It's dangerous for people to make such assumptions. That $50,000 for my first brand deal could have been all that I made that year, or for the next 2 years, or ever as an influencer for that matter. The income of an influencer can oftentimes be fleeting. So, what would I do differently if I quote unquote fell into this all over again? First of all, I'd say most importantly, I'd have a product or service right off the bat, and utilize my platform as a vessel for the sale of these products or services. Like I mentioned before, I didn't have a product or service really to offer. I was the brand and the face of the company. And while I did build a separate business, my business was essentially me. If I could go back in time, I would have most definitely planned from the get-go, before my world travels, to build a product or service to offer the world during and especially once I finished my travels. Promote your business on your platform, and if you become an influencer and are able to generate another source of income, that's a perk. But I don't think one should solely rely on being an influencer. Another thing I would have done differently is to have expanded my niche greater than the sole industries of travel and fitness. I grew out of travel and triathlons. I genuinely did. And now my passions are cats and home decor. However, for the past decade, my audience followed me for mostly travel and a little bit of triathlon. Create a space where you can evolve your platform with your own personal evolving in life. The last important thing I wish I did was to not work with brands for ad placements. From the very first brand deal, I felt anxious and it didn't feel natural. To be a living, breathing advertisement, especially to my audience, I mean, I'd followed a couple influencers who never accepted ad deals and instead just pushed their own products, their own book, their own course, their own podcast, their own clothing, their own app, ceramics, art, education, tech, whatever it was they had to offer. They built their audience into their own brands, as opposed to losing the interest of their audience through ads that can oftentimes diminish the authenticity of that individual promoting said product. Bringing it back to point one that I made earlier, this sort of ties in that I did not have a product or service I was able to offer at the time. I do wish I did though. Brand deals are great, sure, but they never came naturally to me and it always felt oddly awkward and somewhat wrong to push ads on my audience for products that they could care less about. It's not too late for you to learn from my lessons though. This leads me to the next topic of where should you start? Stick with us. When we come back, the steps you can take to become an influencer yourself. You're listening to the Delka Podcast. I'm Cassandra DePeckel. Dying to get your business up and running, but don't know where to begin? Are you sick of the extensive fees it'll take for web development, PR, marketing campaigns, and hiring people to get you there? Maybe you need Elevated. Elevated is a full-service brand agency that will get your business up and running fast and at a low cost without sacrificing the quality and efficiency of your business. Visit elevated.com. That's ELEVATXD.com and get a free website and business roadmap when you sign up for one of our monthly plans. Don't worry, we've got you covered with up to 50 brand development services, including branding, design, marketing, social media management, content creation, web development, strategy consulting, financial and sponsorship decks, and so much more. Get your business launched fast, at low cost, and without sacrificing the quality and luxury you deserve. Visit elevated.com. Again, that's ELEVATXD.com and claim your free website and business roadmap. Again, that's ELEVATXD.com. Elevate your business with Elevated. We left off discussing where to start. Envision yourself 5, 10, 20 years down the line. Where do you see yourself? How big is your audience? And most importantly, what are you offering? Start in the future and work your way back. What's your dream? Because likely your audience is going to help get you there. You'll begin to build an audience who are your core supporters and many of them will be with you for life. So build a business, offer a product or service that you can evolve and grow into your ultimate dream career, hobby, or even side hustle. Make your audience feel a certain way about this thing that it is you have to offer. Get your product and yourself out there. Connect with other people with an audience who share the same values. Connect with brands on Instagram and ask them if they'd share your product in their stories. Offer them a commission. Ask them if they'd feature you or your brand. Or if you're going the sole influencer route, not promoting a product or service, then begin sharing with your audience your favorite brands. Tag them. Be consistent in sharing quality content. Get your audience engaged through giveaways, polls, Q&As, meetups. Be consistent. Reach out to the media to have your brand featured. Share your story on platforms like Medium. Request to be on podcasts whose audience you know would resonate with yours. Have a curated feed, or don't. Do what suits you best. But most importantly, be unique and follow your intuition on how to run your business, how to portray yourself. Slowly, you'll build an audience who resonates with you and/or your brand. It wouldn't be a Delka podcast if we didn't close the sandwich with some caution. But don't worry, we'll end on a high note like always. If you're questioning whether to become an influencer and are curious as to the negatives of doing so, I'll bullet point the important ones for you to take note of. First, as you might be aware of, income is unstable. But same goes for many entrepreneurs. When it comes to social media, there's a lot of worry as to whether a platform will shut down, ban your account, flag something so you're unable to monetize, not to mention brand deals, speaking engagements, and paid events are not consistent. There were months at a time where I made absolutely nothing, and months where I pulled in the average American salary. The income of an influencer greatly varies day to day, and if you're not someone who's okay with not knowing when their next paycheck is coming in, you might want to reconsider this career. Obviously, as an influencer, to get paid, you'd have to have your own business, which means you have to be responsible for taxes, healthcare, etc., as opposed to the company you work for. Which leads me to taxes. So many influencers out there have no idea that they have to pay for taxes on the free things that they get. Don't make the mistake of not doing this. Also, there's the FTC guidelines where if sponsored ads aren't properly disclosed, you could get into trouble. Let me give you a terrifying example, actually. Even if you're not an influencer, maybe you have 200 followers, but you have a public profile. Say you post a picture of yourself holding a Bud Light. All it takes is one person who is money hungry to sue you, stating that you did not disclose that the photo was an advertisement for Bud Light. Even though it was a far cry from an advertisement and was in actuality just a picture of you holding a beer with some friends, the person viewing you didn't know any better. They're sue happy and they want to cash in on you, so they sue you. Even though you're innocent, you've got a long road ahead of you with lots of attorney's fees involved. I know, over one unbelievably petty thing that someone thinks you did, even though you didn't. My point is, that's how easy it is for people to sue these days. And if you have a presence online that's public, you naturally open yourself up to that criticism. Which leads me into cancel culture. Say your career was to be an influencer and you didn't have a product or service to offer. You got sued in an instance like the Bud Light situation, for example. Your audience can turn on you. The media can slander you, and overnight, you're canceled. I personally cannot stand cancel culture. We're all humans and we're just trying to survive and do the best we can. To hold people's livelihood over their heads over something that the media says is so cruel. But alas, being canceled might not ruin you as an influencer, but the result will most definitely take a massive hit to your career. There are also so many bots on these platforms now that can lead to low engagement, which can hinder potential brand deals. If you have your own business with products and services you're promoting, it doesn't really matter so much. But if you're working with brands, you essentially work for them. They need to approve you to work on their campaign as their influencer, and you need to provide stats to them. You need to provide content. They need to approve it. They can, however, see your stats too on their end, but brands will typically steer clear of working with influencers with low engagement. There's this new feature with Instagram whereby you can see how many bots you have. There's this whole inner world of bot accounts taking fold, and it's definitely hindering the influencer. The repercussions of lack of transparency and vulnerability with your audience can loosen your grip with them and lead them astray. All too often with the influencer boom, many people will feel an elevated sense of self-worth or entitlement. Either that or they'll completely lose their sense of self-worth. Never feeling good enough, always needing to do and be better to keep up. or feeling above everyone else and deserving of what others aren't simply because you have an audience. We've seen it all. But to wrap up this episode, I want to talk about the haters. This, I think, is something that many people deal with in various industries, even other than influencers. I want to put a different perspective on this as someone who's been really bogged down by haters over the years. As more of an empath, I've always preferred responding back to them and educating them on their decision to be cruel and the repercussions that could have on someone who does not necessarily have thick skin. When everyone else around me was telling me to ignore them and block them, many times I would instead follow up with them and teach them how to be a better person. It took me 10 years of doing this with hundreds of thousands of haters, only for me to come to terms with the fact that this is not my responsibility. At the same time, I also couldn't continue to be affected by these people in such a negative way. I had to decide on a different way of reasoning in order to handle this influx whenever it occurred. I don't know if this will help someone out there, but here's my rationale. And keep in mind, I'm a very deep and introspective person, so none of my rationales are surface level. In order for me to understand people, I have to dig deeper. Okay, number one, the person who's bestowing such loathing onto you does not know you at all. Therefore, they're indirectly speaking those words to themselves instead of to you. You have to keep this in mind. They haven't come to terms with who they are or whatever it is they're dealing with in life, and they seek subtle solace in you. By tearing you down, judging you, slandering you, it's one of the only ways they can indirectly slander themselves without directly confronting their own demons in the mirror for their faults, something that can be a terrifying thing to do and something that they likely don't have the confidence to do. Then they use you as a sounding board for their frustrations, traumas, and pains in life. They either have nobody with whom they can communicate their emotions about their pains with and who will listen to them, and so they communicate them with you as the mirror of how they treat themselves. This is potentially in hopes that you'll give them the confirmation or feeling they're seeking, in the hopes that a celebrity in their eyes will see their message. They'll feel seen and heard, something they don't receive in their real life away from the internet. As most enlightened and emotionally intelligent individuals on this earth are aware of, when someone targets you or your insecurities, puts you down, it has to do with them, not you. As someone who is an empath, as hurtful as these people's words are and have been to me over the years, I do feel bad for them and I wish I could help them. Even the individual who has sued me out of pure hatred. I feel bad for them and I wish I could educate them on acknowledging and working through their own traumas in life as opposed to taking it out on suing someone. At the end of the day though, many of these types of people don't want help and or don't know how to receive it. Their inner self is stuck in this atrociously degrading space. And unless they're willing to take a solid look at themselves in the mirror, acknowledge their traumas and faults, and take action towards working on it, there's no getting through to them. They'll always be shielded from the good life. And the second thing I want to touch on is how these haters are actually good for us. An oxymoron, I know. They're good for the algorithm. So this episode was about becoming an influencer. And if we're going down that road, then the haters are actually an inaugural part to our success. They bring us views and engagement, which is crucial to becoming an influencer. The more comments, views, eyeballs you have on your platform, you're going to grow. It doesn't matter if these are good or bad eyeballs, they just have to be there. Essentially, we are grateful to our haters from an influencer vantage point. And the last reason as to why they're good for us. They teach us things about ourselves, how we respond, hold ourselves, and possibly, dare I say, recognizing our faults. I like to look at everything in life as a lesson. How can I be a better self based on the circumstances around me? How can I be a stronger self and not take to heart every little thing anyone says to me? How can I truly embody self-peace? I can learn to become stronger, address faults about myself that I may have never realized until it was brought up. Haters can make me become a stronger, more powerful, and enlightened self. I'll leave you with another quote by Bianca Sparacino. 6 months ago, or 12 months ago, or 2 years ago, you fought your way out of the dark. You have the strength to save yourself. You always have. Please don't ever forget that. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a topic you'd like me to speak on, a person who you think I should interview on the show, or if you have a story you'd like to share, feel free to email us at hello@delcalife.com. That's hello@delcalife.com. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok @delcalife. Until next time.